Building recovery, stage 3, ground floor. Session 5, which rooms am I neglecting? Which rooms am I neglecting? Now, when we ask a question like that, we're talking about the ground floor. We're talking about having rooms. We're talking about being in that stage of our building where we can actually see rooms forming. They have windows. And we've looked at several sessions, which we're now going to overlap with slightly. And the overlap is going to get bigger the further we go, because all of this course is integral to itself. It's all connected to every other part. So when we talk today about neglecting rooms, we're really asking both sides of the question. We're saying, when I look at my rooms and I take stock and I continue to reflect on this, which rooms are getting bigger? Which rooms are getting smaller? In other words, what am I doing in each of these rooms, and am I happy with it? Am I okay with the idea of my behavior in these rooms? So we need to continually check the rooms and that we're maintaining good boundaries, the walls are in the right place, the rooms are the right size, we're spending the right amount of time in each room. And how do we do this? I'm going to give you 3 keys in order to look at the idea of which rooms am I neglecting. And those 3 keys are position, speed, and motivation. Position, speed, and motivation. If we want to think about them more simply, I would say position is, what am I doing? My behavior. Speed is, how am I doing it? Too fast or too slow? Motivation is, why am I doing what I'm doing? So we've got, what am I doing? How am I doing it? And why am I doing what I'm doing? Now, the first 2 we kind of covered already. What am I doing can be talking about which relationships need to change. You could talk about, where are my challenges? Speed, too fast or too slow, how am I doing it, can be, obviously, am I building too fast, too slow? You can see that there are other sessions which overlap here. But the 3rd one, which I'm going to spend more time on today, is motivation. And I think this is really key. So as well as looking at position, in other words, how is my room positioned, right? In other words, what am I doing? What's my behavior in those rooms? Am I dropping out certain meetings, certain responsibilities, certain things that I said I would do? Speed, we've covered this as well, but this is, how am I doing it? Am I going too fast? Am I going too slow? Am I doing too much in this room? Am I doing not enough in that room? Where is my level of challenge in each of these rooms? Can I add 5% to it? Is it time to move on? Is it time to try something different, something a bit harder, maybe something a bit more advanced? But motivation is, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why? What's the reason? And it's key to understand how important this is. You see, when we think about motivation, we're talking about the hidden reason. Anybody can see what you do. So I could liken this to inventory taking. Say we're looking at an inventory, and people are approaching recovery through the steps and an inventory. They would often, in their inventory, talk too much about the behavior. And so why is that different? Well, behavior links to a legal inventory, what I did, right? What did I actually do? That's the legality of it. But the real question, the real inventory, is moral. In other words, why did I do what I did? What is my reasoning? What are my values here? And you can see the difference when you think about the law. I'm saying it's a legal inventory when it looks at behavior. You see, there's no laws about thinking. And there's nobody ever passed a law that says how you should think. And there's a very good reason for it. No one can see it. You could never prove what somebody was thinking. You could never, because you're the only one who sees what you think, what your motivation is. The law is all about what you do, and very, very important it is too, because often, of course, our behavior is linked to our motivation. But motivation is the hidden driver. Now, let me put it to you this way. You can do a very good thing for a very bad reason. You can do a very, very bad thing for a very good reason. And you can, you know, I can think of circumstances where those two things could easily happen. So think about how massively the meaning of what you did changes when you think about your motivation. See, essentially that's what's happening, is the meaning of what you do changes. For instance, you can be doing a very good thing for some people, and in doing that, you can just be thinking about what's in it for you. You can just be thinking, like, I know how I'm going to get my payback for this, and so on. Then the meaning totally changes than if you were doing it with no thought of reward. So you can start to see from this how important motivation actually is. It links all the way back to our beliefs, our values, and our ideas about the world and our part in it. And that in itself then links back to identity and who we are. So you can see it's going right back to the core. And if we are changing as part of our recovered self into a new person, how do we do that? We do it through leaving behind the narcissistic process of reflective identity building. And now we're building our identity from an internal moral structure. We're saying, I honestly believe these ideas. I honestly believe this is the right way to go. I love what that comedian said. I don't know if I can remember who it was, but he said, I have some great beliefs. He said, I just don't live by them. And I just, you know, that's it's funny because it's true, right? So what we're doing is we're developing beliefs and we're saying, I'm going to now become how I wish to appear. I'm now going to build my identity, who I actually am, not who I'm appearing to be, but who I'm actually going to be. And so when we start to build on that and create that identity of our recovered self, we then get to genuine, not appearance, but genuine beliefs, values, opinions. And when those things become our motivation, we get a totally new behavior. We can't be motivated by better beliefs, values, and action and opinions and not get to better action, not get to a better behavior. You can see how it's just not possible. At the same time, what often happens when people do not authentically recover, but actually want to persuade someone that they've recovered or that they're trying or whatever, you can see what happens. The identity is still being formed through a reflective process. So the values and beliefs and opinions haven't changed, but the behavior has changed. So now you've got behavior that's not being produced by these values that you've actually got, but it's being produced by a manipulative sense of control that says, I need to convince you of something. So that's a total conflict. There's no way that someone can keep that up, because really, when we look at values and beliefs, they are producing. They're producing behavior. They're producing speech. They're producing unconscious reactions. Very difficult to hold that in total control and say, no, can't behave that way, got to behave this way. So I think we've given you a taste there of just how important and just how key these three keys are: position, speed, and motivation. And motivation itself is the major one. As you become more honest with yourself, and you start to look at your motivation. Why? Because you're the only one who can do it. No one else can do it. You look at your motivation and you look at your behavior and you say, why did I do what I just did? What is my motivation? Now, again, I'm not asking you to get on your own case here or take this. You know, if you have a real problem judging yourself, being critical of yourself, then you need to do this with support, because you'll just tend to have a go at yourself. But if you need to get to an effective way of doing this, whether it's just a discussion group, sharing with someone you really trust, getting some counselling, some support, some kind of way of helping you to do this in a balanced and well-grounded way. So the question in this session has been, which rooms am I neglecting? And we're looking at that through position, speed, and motivation. So that is the end of the ground floor sessions. They are quick. None of these sessions, I think, was above 15 minutes. So I urge you to use them as a resource, not just a quick bit of information, but to download them, save them, keep them, review them, listen to them again, take notes, think about what you've heard, and get the most. I always talk about squeezing the last few drops of wisdom and education and understanding out of anything that you do. So I hope that you're going to be able to do that. I wish you all the best. And we're going to move on now to stage four, which is the first floor. Now, this is so exciting. But again, please do not be tempted to move into first floor activity unless you have completed the planning, the foundation, and the ground floor. I know this is hard, but we want to build something that lasts. See you next time.